rising. Oh, I can do it.
The way of Vertigo Records from 1976. That is Streetwalkers featuring the vocals of what's his name? I was going to say Bob Tench, but he's the bass player, isn't he? Roger Chapman. There we go. Yeah. Brain's working. Brain is working. That's good to know. Hey, I hope you're doing all right. That is Streetwalkers. Daddy Rolling Stone from their album Red Card came out in 1976 on Vertigo. I was surprised. I picked that up from about $18 at the local store up on Burnaby, North Burnaby. These prices have gone up in a little bit, but that was an import. It was actually on Vertigo Records on the UK version of it. So that's not a bad deal. Not a bad deal. You heard in the Edmonton band, I think they're from Edmonton, Crocus. And we'll be playing more from these guys in a bit. Running Start from the debut album in 1979. It's weird because I randomly bought a whole bunch of albums, all from 1979, and five of them are Canadian, and I didn't know that at the time I was pulling it. But that's what happens sometimes, I guess. And that's also Canadian classic saga and Images chapter one in there as well. So I hope you're doing all right wherever you are in the world. My name is DJ Ian, and if you're listening out there and you're confused, you may be confused, because a lot of people, when I say I'm on CJSF, I'm only on CJSF on Tuesday nights at 10, so I'm not sure where the confusion is, but I don't know. It's pretty straightforward, but it is... It gets rebroadcast, this show. I send it to them and they rebroadcast it. So that's why it goes on CGSF. Magic internet technology. I send it to them and they download it and they play it and then they play it again. So that's the way it works. But you can also see me on twitch.tv/IanInVancouver. We have quite a lot of Canadian content today. And, we're doing all right, I think. We're doing all right as far as Canadian content. Because, you know, if you're on Canadian radio, you have to play, I think it's 30% or 25% Canadian content. Anyway, that's how it rolls, baby. That's how it rolls. All right, so let's do that then. Let's play some Canadian content. From their album Crocus from 1979. This is... It's not that. I don't want that. I want that. There you go. see what's going on here. Here we go.
late for the ball. So they laugh when they see us walking hand in hand. It's plain to see. They don't see what I see. No, they don't understand you and me. But we're here as an example of how love can and should be. Peculiar and odd is all they ever see. Odd and peculiar, out holding hands. They laugh at us when feel like it's now complete. Peculiar and odd walking down the street.
We thought you were going to screw that up. Hey, you are listening to me, Ian. I am on the radio. Yes. Wake up, man. Wake up. I was listening to... I was so transpired by Cohen's vocals. Odd and peculiar. Yes, indeed. Yeah, that is my good friend, Cohen Kane. And we do jams together here locally here in Vancouver. And so he said, hey, I'm Bandcamp. So I said, okay, let's have a listen. And he's got some good stuff. Got some good stuff. It's from 2015. It's a title track from his 2015. I think his other tracks are from 2015 as well. So Odd and Peculiar. That pretty well nails down Cohen, I would say. Thanks, Cohen. I hope you're listening. And I hope you enjoyed listening to yourself on radio. Classic Mauve, Wanting, from that Network Sound Sampler, is in there from 1987, and I picked that up at the local record store on the weekend. And if you're wondering, much of this, these tracks are taken directly from vinyl, which I tend to rip and play as I see fit. And so you'll hear some pops and crackles and other things. But I like the idea of going from analog to digital in this day and age. What else do we have in that? We had The Key from a Toronto band called Crack of Dawn. They're a funk band, and the album was... I didn't even realize it was Canadian when I bought it, so I just looked them up when I did look them up. The Key, and I think we may be playing another track from them a little later. And then Crocus in there as well, and some an instrumental track called Networks. Now, up next is a fella that I spent some time with earlier in the week, and thanks to Cheryl for putting us in touch with each other. Art is a musician from Collingwood, Ontario, and we got chatting. And we had a few words. So this is, we're going to play the interview just straight. And there's three songs in there from him. And we'll have a listen to what Art has to say. And I think we're starting off with me babbling on about something. So here we go. Yeah. So tell me about yourself, Art. You're in Ontario, Canada.
Oh, yeah.
and I'm in Vancouver, so we've got that in common to start.
Apparently.
So, the show is, I've been doing it for about 5-6 years now. So, tell me about, a little bit about yourself as if, well, I don't know who you are.
Well, very good. I've been a touring musician since I was 19, which is 1979. Oh my God. And spent the decade of the 80s always on the road. And then most of the 90s, that was all in cover bands. And then most of the 90s was spent working on an original band called King Size. And we did, you know, the sort of the regular rock of the day, sort of like Bon Jovi or like whatever. But my background in things I like most in music was always progressive. Yes is my favorite band, and you know, I was fortunate enough to see them many times in the 70s and Genesis and Brand X and all those sort of, you know, offshoots thereof. And so I became a big fan of not only the regular vocalized prog, but also the instrumental part. And then one day a friend of mine said, have you heard of this guy? And that turned out to be Jean-Luc Ponty. And that's one of my favorite artists of all time now. I absolutely love Jean-Luc. And so that takes us up to the 2000s. I sort of stopped playing live at that point. And then over the course of time, built up my home recording studio, which technically is a no microphone studio. So technically it's a project studio, but, you know, I do everything I need to be able to do here. Right. And then all other things that need to be recorded with microphones, drums and things are never done here. They're done by the drummers at their
remote location.
Back to me. Yeah. So then about, where are we here, 2015, or maybe 2013 or so, anywhere around there, a mutual friend of ours introduced me to my guitar player, Kelly Kreliak, and we hit it off like crazy. And I said, you know, I got a bunch of these instrumental tracks that I'm working on. Would you like to work on them with me? And he was like, I'd love to. So then that led us to finishing off those tracks. He was working with Steve Negus from Saga at the time, the drummer, and he introduced us, and then Steve played the drums on the first album. And at the very last minute, another mutual friend of mine introduced me to Victoria, the violin player, and that put it over the top for me. It was already pretty good, but I said to my friend Murray, he was here one day listening, and he goes, this is absolutely fantastic. I said, yeah, I know, but I hear violin in it. And he goes, have I got a girl for you? And then he introduced me to Victoria, and now she's indispensable now. Her and Kelly are my cohorts in
music. Go-to team.
My go-to team, the A-team. And so we just put out our third Art Griffin Sound Chaser album. The first one came out in 2016, the next one in 2022. And at that point, we got Todd Zuckerman from Styx to do a couple of drum tracks, and we really enjoyed that. And then moving forward to the latest release, it's Todd on a couple of tracks and Marco Miniman from The Aristocrats on the rest of the tracks.
Right. And Derek is on one, I believe.
Derek Sherinian is on one. He's on a track called So Fine on the new album, doing some pads, but I already had pads, but mainly because I wanted a Hammond B3 solo in one section.
Yeah, I heard that track and all of a sudden realized, there's a sound I know.
Right? So yes, exactly. So he fit the bill perfectly, of course. Funny thing about that, I reached out to him and he said, sure, man, I'd like to do it. And, you know, send me the track. So I sent him the track and he goes, well, here's an example of what I can do. Like I didn't know already.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we want to go ahead, then I'll do something better. And then I never wanted something better because that one was just sort of
Perfectly satisfactory. Thank
you. Right in the preliminary stages, I was like, nope, 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 that's it. Don't fuck with it. Just, that's it. So.
One take.
No.
Yeah, I've been following, because he was part of, with Joe Bonamassa and Glenn Hughes in that outfit there. And, so I thought he was a little underused in that operation. But, of course, you've got two big, huge names there with and Bonham on the drums, right? So
right.
I thought he was, he was there. But it, that's how I got to know the name. But of course, he's been with many outfits and operations before and after. So,
yeah.
But it's good. You got some good names on there. It raises the level of legitimacy, I guess, to some degree.
Right.
And Saga is another band I've just been getting back into. Funny because I just actually bought one of their old pieces of vinyl yesterday. I forget which one. The one with the moth on the front, I think. And
that's the first album.
Yeah. So yeah. I always thought that the thing is, especially in Canada, and you will probably know this, I mean, even bands as big as Rush, people look kind of down on those bands to say, oh, it's Rush, it's like Spinal Tap or whatever. But I grew up in the UK, right?
Mm-hmm.
And bands like Rush were the thing. And I've seen them a couple of times here. They always pull in a big crowd. I heard Saga. There was a whole bunch of different bands. One of my favorite guitar players, Frank Marino. I talk to people here, musicians. They don't even know who he is. And I'm saying he's one of the quintessential guitar players of the day, And it's one of the things, you may find this, and this is specifically to us in Canada, is that I've been here now since 1981, and coming from the UK, where certain bands were kind of quite big at that time, so you got bands like Rush, there's certain, but I came to Canada, and it's like, don't you know who these people are? And he's like,
right.
No, never heard. Especially, we're very regionalized in Vancouver. I find that, like, we've got our bands, and I'm not doubting the quality. I know the quality of musicianship here is, excellent. We've got, excellent recording studios. But one of the craziest things I realized coming from a small